Will you pray with me? May God grant that only the truth will be spoken here, and only the truth will be heard. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So here we go again with the Sermon on the Mount, part 3 this time. Combined with some serious warnings by Moses to his straggling wilderness band as they seek to enter the promised land after 40 years of desert wanderings, those readings carry a pretty heavy dose of judgment. Choose life so that you might live. Don't be angry. Don't insult someone else. And when you offer a gift at the altar and one of your brothers or sisters has something against you, leave your gift and be reconciled before you return and offer it to God. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose it than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose it than for your whole body to go into hell. It's pretty stark stuff here that we are hearing. And which might be the reason why I have never heard anyone who told me that this particular part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount was his or her favorite Bible passage to memorize. It is just too harsh, too bizarre for us to take literally. We do not mutilate ourselves in order to be better people. We do not rip out our eyes or cut off our hands so we are better Christians. We do not take these words literally, and I can prove it to you, because when you go in any other Christian church, including Full Bible, Four Square Gospel, churches where women can't vote or usher or, heaven forbid, wear pants, even there, you won't see pews full of one-armed, one-legged, one-eyed parishioners. Even for them, these words of Jesus are one bridge too far to cross. Even they recoil at self-mutilation for the sake of witness to the gospel. But while we cannot take these words literally, we should take them seriously. Because Jesus is trying to make a point here, and while his point is some 2,000 years old, there is still some of it that speaks to us. Because these texts take us by the scruff of our collective necks, shake us, and rub our noses in the stuff we really don't want to see, or for that matter, to smell. Our all-too-frequent individual and collective indifference to incremental callousness. Not the obvious result of it, like the mass murderer, the chronic embezzler, the wife-beater. They are too easy to point out and to condemn and remind us, who tend to be stricken with serious bouts of denial, that really, thank God, we are nothing like them. But what the texts speak to is what precedes that all. The small increments of unaddressed and unresolved slights and anger. The ever-growing, unkind and uncharitable thoughts and speech that live in most, if not all of us. While deep down, we know that they are inappropriate for the people of God to engage in. Watch your thoughts, for they become your words. Watch your words, for they become your actions. Watch your actions, for they become your habits. Watch your habits, for they become your character. That That is what a Buddhist proverb says, and I love it when Jesus says something that is also loudly proclaimed in another religious tradition. That instead of callous thoughts and speech, instead of waiting for the consequences of such speech, the consequences of our anger, that we go ahead and guard against them before they find their way into the light of day. We need to watch what we are doing. We need to watch what we are saying. We need to watch what we are thinking. Because if we don't watch it, it grows incrementally and it crowds out all charity and kindness. And when that happens, they will leave us to trip up others and they will stumble. And then our witness to the world will be compromised. Such are the consequences of our imprudence. Anger, broken relationships, divorce, unintended to be sure, but the consequences nevertheless. Remember last week's readings? That we need to be salt for the earth and light for the world. This is how being salt for the earth and being light for the world looks like, Jesus says. In being stricter with yourself than any law of Moses could ever require you to be. In being stricter with yourself than any reasonable rule that you have heard of so far. Because who you are makes a difference to your witness in the world. How you act makes a difference in your witness to the world. Therefore, take yourself seriously enough in your life and in your work in the world that you can make a difference, Jesus says. This is a challenge. We all know how quickly and easily we declare ourselves puny, powerless, in just one small voice, but it is also a promise. Because Jesus tells us that we are full of unrealized power and we need to wake up to it. Wake up to it so we use it wisely. Wake up to it so we hold ourselves accountable. Because whenever we give way to hypocrisy, to double speak, we are giving others reason to doubt our witness. Whenever we allow bullying of ourselves or of others, we are giving reason to doubt our commitment to the value of all people. Talking about how we all are God's children and then treating some of those children like stepchildren or orphans. Talking about God's good gifts to us and then hoarding those gifts and refusing to share ourselves or share what we have with others. Talking about God's amazing grace and then saving up our own old hurts like green stamps in a book, a catalog of griefs that collects bitterness like dust. This is not the way to witness to the world, Jesus says. Therefore, remember your baptismal calling in which you were charged to let your light so shine before others that they see your good works that glorify your Father in heaven. Watch what you do and watch what you say. Don't give heartlessness a way in. Don't crack the door even a notch. Who you are as a child of God makes a difference. And what you do in that identity gives witness to the world. I often think about the big monumental shifts in human history that happen when people realize their power and commit to achieving them. The civil rights movement, Gandhi's Salt March, the shipyard strike of Gdansk,
Tiananmen Square.
Nelson Mandela's Truth and Reconciliation Commission. The Me Too movement. People realizing their power and realizing the power of their words in every way. And by their speech and by their actions, they change the world. Their witness stands as an example. Not to roll over and become a doormat to the abuse of others, but to be clear in our purpose, that we witness to the life and death and resurrection of Jesus, to a story of life in the face of death, of grace in the face of judgment, of a person's value regardless of the position a society has assigned to them. We witness to a man whose words and actions we believe showed us who God is. And we can only do this credibly when our belief and our actions match. That should give us powers beyond imagining. Not powers to dominate or intimidate, but powers to attract and draw people in. So instead of mutilating ourselves in a vain attempt to become better Christians, I think we can make better use of the body that we are given. We can use our two really good eyes to see the world the way that God sees it, whole, but in continual need of healing. We can use our two good feet to carry us into it as deeply as we dare. And we can stretch out our still attached arms to someone in need, always knowing that in that act, we not only hold one another, but that God's self steadies and holds all of us in a great embrace. Amen.